Okay. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you in Sunday school this morning. And I hope you got some rain like we got some rain. We sure needed it. And we just thank the Lord for it. And for those that got storms and things, we're praying for them that everything goes well. And just good to be here today, isn't it? We praise the Lord. And talking about praises, we have a few praises here for number one, for Philip. He's doing better with his hand, so hopefully he's on the mend. And I just want to go ahead and pray for Jared and Jody. I understand that they did induce labor this morning for Jody. And I want to pray for Pastor and Amy. We know that this is a very exciting time for them. So keep them in your prayers today. Pray that everything goes well, is well. And we just give the Lord the praise for it. Before I get started this morning, do we have any visitors? Okay. Well, it's good to see everybody and to have you here. I'm glad Debbie made it back this morning. She was having a rough week last week, so she's back. And we just thank the Lord for her and thank the Lord for what he's doing all over. We've got several cancer patients that are dealing with cancer, and you know, a lot of them are going through chemo like Debbie is, and it's very hard on them. I know that Leslie has had some chemo now, right, Larry? Okay, really, really zapped her, yeah. Okay. Well, let's hold Leslie up in prayer. It's good to have Brother David back with us this morning. He had surgery on Friday over at Winston-Salem, and they made it back, and we understand he's got some pain today, but that's understandable, and we just pray that the Lord will touch him and help him heal quickly. Okay. Okay, Wednesday week on the 11th, David is going to have a PET scan. So let's keep him in our prayers that this cancer has not come back, not spread. And so with that being said, y'all have got a copy of the prayer request. And so we just ask you to look over that and pray for these folks. They are having rough times right now, and you know, it's good when you're on the mountaintop, but when you're in the valley, it's a little rough down there. And we just need to hold them up in prayer, okay? Is there anyone that has either an unspoken or a prayer request this morning? Special. Yes, sir. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so Lori broke her ankle. Wow. Yes, sir. Okay. Jeff Alverson. Okay. Okay. Remember this brother? He's just found out he's got esophageal cancer, so they'll be running tests on him. And he's down in Georgia. Yes, sir, Leroy.
My neighbor, Dion, he's going to Vanderbilt Tuesday. He's got a big mask on his lungs.
Okay, Dion. Remember Dion. Okay. Well, that's okay. The Lord knows him. Okay.
And I trained my dog for a PET scan, and I went. So if you need one to take with you, I'll take you and Steve.
Miss Nancy? Okay, Traveling Mercies for Nancy's son. Lanny? Okay. I can't hear. Carol knows. I can't hear. Okay. Well, just remember these prayer requests this morning. And again, we want to thank the Lord for being with us and blessing us. You know, even when things are not going good, God is still blessing us. And so we want to lift him up and praise him. And let's go to prayer this morning. Before I do that, I will remind you this is Missions Month. And so we have some missionaries visiting with us today. And brother back here has already preached one service this morning, so he's going to be up in a little while to preach the second service. So we just want to thank the Lord for having them here in Pastor Herdman's absence. So let's go to the Lord. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us. We thank you, God, for all the blessings. And Lord, with these requests that we've heard this morning, there's people on our list. There's people that we've heard their names out loud. And God, you know all about these. We just ask that you touch them. God, you have your will and your way in their life. Father, that you will, Lord, help them to get through these times. And Lord, we just want to praise you and thank you again for all your goodness to us, for your love for us. Pray you'll bless the morning service as we have it at 11 o'clock. May you bless the preaching. May you bless the people that are coming. And Lord, if there be one that would be lost, don't know you, Father, we pray that today, that you would speak to their heart and they would accept you as Lord and Savior. Now be Brother Philip as he comes and teaches to us and just bless our hearts from this. And Lord, help us to go out this week to glorify you, praise you, and to tell others about you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Danny.
Well, I like the color of bandage you got, Danny.
Thank you. I feel a little awkward not having a sport coat on. I couldn't get this cast through it like the last one, but praise the Lord, I've got a little more movement there, and God's good. Went in to get that cast changed, and my wife said she was going to come in with me. And my wife would be a wonderful nurse if she could stand the sight of blood or any of those kind of things. And so when she said she was coming in with me, I thought, okay, these things don't bother me that much, but they do bother her. And so they pulled all that off, and I had this big pin sticking out of my hand. And so she looked at that, and I thought, well, this is pretty good. And so they got to taking that stuff off and taking stitches out, and you know how stitches are, your body has a tendency to kind of grow around them, so they had to get that scissor in there and get under it, and so I was kind of focused on that, and she was using my thumb as a lever. I thought, please don't do that. And as she was trying to get that scissor under the stitches, and so I was very focused on that, and then all of a sudden, you know, she was getting it, and I looked over there, my wife's doing this, and she's all bent over, and she had reached her point. And I said, sweetheart, please just go on. She said, I've got to go out to the waiting room. She stood up and sat right back down because she was going to pass out and couldn't make it two steps. So anyway, God bless her, and I appreciate her trying, amen. And turn to Hebrews chapter 9. You know, we hear all these things about cancer and people being operated on, and your heart just says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Just be done with all of this. There's so much sadness and pain in people's lives, and you hear such bad news, and He just wanted all to be done, amen, and the Lord to come back and make all things new. And but we have to wait. Now, most of you have been saved. I can't imagine there's anybody in here that's a new convert. Y'all have probably been saved decades, so it's always challenge for me to bring things that might be of interest to you and would help you. And so I hope this lesson won't be too basic. If you would, there in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24, we're going to talk about our salvation for a little bit. And so we'll pick it up in verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So here we see the three appearings of Christ. He now appears in the presence of God for us, verse 26. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, in verse 28. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So the three appearings of Christ, and each one of these corresponds to the three aspects of our salvation. We all know that we are justified and we are being sanctified, and one day we will be glorified. And so each one of these bears upon that. He came to bear sin, the offering of himself, and through that we are justified. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And he now appears for us in heaven, now to appear in the presence of God for us, and we will talk a little bit more about that. But that deals with our sanctification, and then one day he's coming again without sin, and that applies to our glorification. So in the one, he removes the penalty of sin. In the second, he removes the power of sin. And in the last, he removes us from the very presence of sin. We're looking forward to that. Amen. And for the one, he was a mediator. Now he is an intercessor. And when he comes back, he will be a glorifier. For the one, for the justification, what was required of us was repentance and faith. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. As the, excuse me, for sanctification, it requires of us confession and prayer. And for the glorification, we must wait patiently for him to come from heaven. We'll look at some of those verses as well. For the justification, it required a sacrifice for sin. For sanctification, it requires a priest to intercede for us. And for our glorification, well, a glorious king shall come and take us unto himself, and we'll look at some of those. We too shall bear the glory. So we see here that when he came, he bore sin. In heaven now, he intercedes for sin. And when he comes back, it will be without sin unto salvation. And so this lends itself to the idea that we are saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. Our salvation is not complete, amen? If it were, we wouldn't be dealing with sin in our lives. We wouldn't be struggling with it. And as we say there, he appeared the second time without sin unto salvation. So in a very real sense, we're still waiting for salvation. Amen? For the full and complete salvation. It's not full and complete yet. It is absolutely sure, but it is not complete. And so the one, this, appeared to put away sin, deals with our standing before God. In the matter of appearing for us, deals with our state. And when he comes again, it deals with our future security forever. So, let's look at this a little more closely, if we could. So all of these things have to do with our salvation in all of its aspects and his appearings for each one. Now the first one, but now once in the end of the world, he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, excuse me, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And so he appeared to put away sin. Now, has anybody in here had any problem with sin since you got saved? Amen. Obviously, it does not mean that sin is completely gone. Sin's very much a problem with us. So in what sense did he put away sin? What does this mean? In John 1 and John 1, 29, it says, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, one day, this will happen in its absoluteness, but that isn't today. That will be in the new heavens and new earth, amen? It will not be in the millennium. There'll be plenty of sin there. And we know at the end, a great uprising of Satan in the world against our king. And when the new heavens and new earth come, all things will be made new, and wherein a kingdom wherein dwelleth righteousness. So that absolute state of taking away sin will not happen until the New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven after the white throne judgment. And so in what sense has he taken away sin? If you would, by the way, this verse 27, and it is, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, this is not, we have an appointment, but this is the God of heaven, the judge, pronouncing a decree upon sinful men. It is appointed unto men once to die. And then after that death, there is a judgment that they must endure. And that will be for all eternity. And so it's appointed unto men once to die. If you would, turn to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 3. In this passage, it says, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Oh, excuse me. That's the next one I wanted to go to. I'm out of line here. Galatians 4, verse 3. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And so in verse 3, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Now, if you get out your concordance and your lexicon, you'll find that this word elements means first principles. We were in bondage under the first principles or laws of this world. Now that takes us all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, where God said to Adam and Eve, before they ever sinned, he laid down this appointment. The judge said to them, in the day that ye eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, this is the bondage that the whole world has been under. This is the very first principle, the very first law that God ever laid down, that men who sin would die. And he said this to our parents, and ever since then, the whole world has been in the bondage of this elemental principle or law of God. It is universal and nobody can get around it. It is appointed. So this appointment by this judge was laid down in Genesis chapter 2, and we have been in bondage under this first principle in the world ever since. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. So this law started then. The law didn't come in Exodus chapter 20. The law started long before that, long before there was ever sin. The law was laid down that in the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. The very first principle that is in the world. And so what we see, if you would, turn to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now here it is. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. And here we have it again. Took it out of the way. So we saw up there in Hebrews, it said he appeared to put away sin. So here in Colossians, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. That includes everything that Moses wrote, but also includes that first principle, that element of the world. The very first one has been blotted out. The handwriting of ordinances, and it was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to a cross. So all of these laws, all of these ordinances that were against us have been blotted out. So what he has taken away in the cross is the penalty of sin. So when you say you and I are saved, we are definitely saved. We are saved from the penalty of sin. God has taken all of that away. He has put away this penalty, this handwriting of ordinances, these first principles that were against us, under which we were in bondage. He has put all of that away. And because of that, God is completely satisfied. It says here in his love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, this word propitiation means to appease. He has our Savior's work on the cross has completely satisfied the obligations of the law, and he has completely appeased the wrath of the lawgiver. So he has our propitiation, and because of this, it says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 26, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So because of what our Savior has done, at his first appearing, God is now just to declare his righteousness. and that he is just to justify us. And in this sense, like I said in my opening remarks, Jesus Christ is the mediator. We needed a mediator. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So a mediator is someone who resolves a conflict between two opposed parties. We have the righteousness of God, we have the sinfulness of man, and these two can never come together unless a mediator comes in between them. And Christ was this mediator on the cross, and God can now righteously accept anyone who comes to this mediator because he has appeased the law and the wrath, the lawgiver, the wrath of God. And God is now just to accept anyone based on Jesus Christ's mediation. So this is his first appearing. He appeared for our justification. This is all legal, right? These are legal things. God is a judge. He had a law that was violated, and our Savior came to save us, to put away the penalty of the law. But now we know that we still have a problem with sin. And so back there in Hebrews chapter 9 again, it says in verse 24, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself." Now, this is what is happening right now. "Now to appear in the presence of God for us." Now, why is this? If you will turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 7. And verse 15. And we will see that we still need some saving today. "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am," here it is, "who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." And so we see here the great struggle in the believer. He has a new law that's put in him. By the way, the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. "Behold, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." But we see him struggling with sin. That isn't new. What we see in this new creation is found in verse 22. This is what every new creature in Christ has. "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." There is put in every one of us a delight in the law of God. Now that waxes and wanes, but it's there in every one of us. Wouldn't you say when you hear the word of God, maybe even now, and you go, "Amen. I believe that. That is so good. That feeds my soul." What you're demonstrating is this principle, this new creation in you that rejoices in the law of God. We did not have that before, amen, as lost people. Our minds were at enmity with God. But now there is a new creation in us, a new principle that delights in the law of God after the inward man. But there's a struggle here, so we need help. He says, who shall I'm wretched. Haven't you been there? Many a time we've come to the altar simply because we're so wretched in this struggle with sin in our life, and we come forward to what? To confess? Well, let's look at it here. Notice with me in Hebrews chapter 7. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But this man, verse 24, but this man, because he continueth ever, that's what we read in Hebrews 9, now he appears in heaven for us, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. This is what we need now. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. Do you need some of that? Don't we all? Amen. To save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Praise the Lord for that. He appears in heaven for us. He appears in the presence of God as our priest for us to make intercession for us. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So this is his dual intercession for us. One is mercy. Folks, we sin, correct? And if we confess our sins, what? He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. There is a problem with sin in the believer, but our Savior, our priest, is there making intercession for us. And then secondly, that we might find grace to help in the time of need. So there's a dual intercession that our wonderful Savior makes for us now to give us this, what we saw, to save us to the uttermost today. From what? The power of sin over us. So he appeared first in the flesh to take away the penalty of sin. He appears now in heaven as our great high priest, our intercessor, to number one, forgive us of our sin, and number two, to give us grace to help in the time of need. Don't we have need of it? Amen. We are so in need of this wonderful appearing of our Savior. But then, by the way, John 13 is the living illustration of this and the washing of the disciples' feet. He says, you don't know what I'm doing now, but you will in time. And this is the constant need of the removal, the washing of defilement in our contact with this world. And this is part of what our Savior's doing for us in heaven. He's taking our dirty old feet and washing them and keeping us in a right relationship with the Father. Now, the last one, Hebrews 9, and unto them that look for, by the way, this relationship, we do not need a mediator, correct? We no longer need a mediator. What we need is an intercessor. The mediator comes in between two warring parties, we might say, two parties that have a conflict, and he brings them together. And I should have quoted this verse to you as well. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. So when Christ brought us together and mediated for us, the mediator of the new covenant. He made us one with himself and one with the Father. You and me and I and him. And so there's no need for mediation. Amen? We're made one with God. Now we need an intercessor to help us in our daily state. So first, our standing. By the way, this is why our standing, we have been, the law's penalty has been taken away. This is where we come to Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Our standing is absolutely justified. But when it comes to our state, we're dealing with sin and we need an intercessor. And so this is what he's doing for us as he appears before God. But now, and unto them that look for him, and do not we all look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. This is our glorification. Now, folks, we are not just criminals forgiven. Amen? We're going to share the glory of our Savior. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that our bodily resurrection, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. When Christ, Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So it's going to be a glorious resurrection when he comes. Beloved, now here's something very precious. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, so when, this is that third appearing of our Savior without sin, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The minute that trumpet sounds and the Lord calls us up and we behold him, we will be instantly transformed into the glory of the Lord. We will share his glory. We will be in glory. Our resurrected body will be raised in glory. And it will be a glorious resurrection. So, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, the three appearings of our Savior answer all of our needs: our justification, our sanctification, and one day our glorification. And so let's wait and look for that last appearing. And while we're here now, let's repair unto him, him who is there interceding for us, that we might have victory over sin in our lives. Father, thank you for these people and their attention today. And thank you for our Savior who appeared to put away sin, who appears even now before you for our sanctification, and who will appear one day to take us out of this world of woe without sin unto himself. In Jesus' name, amen.